This is a CBC podcast.
Hey there, I'm Nicola McLeod. This is Good Question PEI, and you are?
Hi, Nicola. I'm Travis Kingdon.
Travis is one of my colleagues here at CBC. He is a producer on Compass.
And I guess unofficial co-host this week of Good Question PEI?
Sure, we'll give you that title.
Unofficial.
Sure. Travis, I don't want to expose you on this podcast, but...
I am not from here. I am a come from away, as they say. Yes, I moved here about 5 years ago now.
And what have you observed about PEI in the time you've lived here?
PEI really likes to talk about where things used to be. We were very big on, oh, turn left where the Sears used to be, hook a right where the Purple House used to be. And that got me thinking about the things that used to be here. And what I noticed, there's a lot of infrastructure for trains, but there's no trains here.
PEI hasn't seen a train since the 1980s. And if you've ever been on any portion of the Confederation Trail, you're walking and riding where the trains used to be. That trail now runs from one end of the island to the other, and people come from all over the world to walk, cycle, and ride snowmobiles in the wintertime. I grew up using those trails and also had no expectation of train travel here on the island.
So I grew up in the Greater Toronto area. I'm from Burlington. I've spent my time living in Toronto and Hamilton. That corridor is served by the GO train. You know, if I needed to get into Toronto, hopping on the GO train. And then when I was in Toronto, tons of time on the subway too.
So when you first moved to PEI, did you know there were no trains here?
I don't know that I knew explicitly that there was no trains. I don't know it was like a consideration when I was moving here that like, oh, I'm moving to a province with no trains. Did I really think about that? But when I got here, I definitely realized it.
Now that he's lived here for a few years, though, Travis admits he sort of misses trains. And I get it. I used to live in France in a city on the high-speed rail line. I could hop from one part of the country to another in a matter of hours. It's so convenient. And Travis has his own reasons for why he thinks trains could be good for the island.
I think it would solve housing affordability, would really open up access to other parts of the island. It would really help tourism. Imagine you can get off a cruise ship and take a train up to Cavendish or something like that. New industry for the island, too. Maybe become a little more self-reliant. I think it's all things good.
The other thing is PEI has the goal of reaching net zero by 2040. That's 10 years earlier than the federal government's goal. So that's an issue for us because our number one emitter at this point is transportation, cars, because on PEI...
Absolutely, you need to have a car. And the province is trying to like bridge that to their credit with the rural transit networks and things like that and the bus system.
So what are you hoping we can dive into on this episode? What are the questions that you want answered?
I really want to know what led up to why the rail went away. And I want to know if there's any consideration as we think about growing our population and contributing to our net zero goals, if there's any thought from the province about bringing any sort of rail system back to the island, be it light rapid transit, monorails. Nicola, I'm hoping that you can answer for me, what happened to the trains and are they ever coming back?
There's actually still a place in PEI where you can ride a train. That's the Elmira Railway Museum down east. Now, Elmira used to be the end of the line on that side of the island. Today, that heritage site is run by the PEI Museum and Heritage Foundation. All right, I am Channel 1. Check, check.
Travis.
Check, check. Channel 2. Check, check.
Check, check. It's okay.
We have everybody.
Okay.
We're back in business. Thank you, Leonard. That new voice you're hearing is Samantha Kelly. She's the curator of history with the foundation.
We used to have a train. It was about 150 years ago. Kind of started off as a project for a coalition government at the time to focus on a project that wouldn't be seen as controversial, a massive infrastructure project.
All right. This is the first you've heard about PEI's railway. Buckle up, because it's a disaster. In 1871, we're still an independent colony. Despite hosting the Charlottetown Conference, where the idea of Confederation was fleshed out, PEI actually backs out of Canada. But they want to keep up with the times. So they push through this infrastructure project without much debate. They start building in the fall of 1871, but less than a year later,
became very obvious that they had made a terrible, terrible mistake. And that now the colony was on the verge of, like, bankruptcy. There was, you know, just not enough money to pay for this, dealing with, like, astronomical amounts of money. So the entire colonial kind of budget in 1871 was, like, $400,000, but their debt load by 1872 was, like, $3 million. So it was just like crazy amounts of money.
They're counting the pennies to be like, can we make this work? Like, the answer is no.
No, and nothing is going to add up.
Yeah. And that's mostly just because of the rail system that they're trying to put in place?
Yeah, so it seems like there wasn't a lot of planning that happened before they started construction. They had a kind of a general idea. It was going to be simple line. It was going to be efficient, you know, cost effective. And it was going to run from Georgetown to Alberton with not a lot of stops. But then kind of what started to happen is that there was lobbying and there was some bribery that was happening, and sort of the extensions of the railway line started to creep into well beyond Alberton and Georgetown.
There's a price cap on each mile of railway track that is laid, but no limit to how many miles are going to be built. And it becomes an opportunity for contractors to make some money. It's not built in a straight line. I've actually heard the folktale that the track turns so much that you could never actually see the back of the train from the front car.
And we had one gentleman actually not that long ago tell us that his uncle had a farm that the railway crossed three times. So it was just, you know, with that, it's just clearly snaking back and forth.
That's fascinating. I always thought that was a rumor that they did the most complicated route or a more complicated route than they needed to because of the money side of things. And it's actually, that's kind of the case.
Sort of. I guess they, you know, they kind of ended up being at the mercy of the contractors. And then also this coalition government ended up falling because of charges of corruption and obviously this exorbitant debt that they had kind of accumulated. You know, when the next government came in, there was an assumption that maybe they would stop the railway, but it just kind of carried on. And I don't know if it was a case of like, well, we're in it now. Let's just like power through
we're
and see how this
what
goes.
We started. We got to keep going.
Yeah. It's half here now. We might as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so many parallels to lots of projects that we have in the 21st century as well.
So PEI is out of money and out of options. The colony can raise taxes, declare bankruptcy, or join Canada. So what does that conversation look like? They're like, hey, we made a big mistake.
Yeah, probably. The one thing they did have that worked in their favor is that Canada wanted PEI. They were able to negotiate terms that were a bit more favorable than, you know, kind of originally put forward. Of course, you know, for a lot of people, it wasn't the best, still not the best deal, and still not, it meant they were giving up a lot more than what they were getting back. 1873, you know, we became the seventh province. The Canadian government then assumed the debt, continued on with construction of the railway. The railway opened kind of in 1875. And it's still, even beyond that, it's still continued to grow.
It isn't all bad. Keep in mind, prior to the railway, people were moving by horse and buggy. So even if a trip from one end to the other takes 2 days,
the train connected people and, you know, it opened up communities in a way they hadn't been previously. Like, so those small rural communities that were isolated now had access to bigger centers in an easier way. It moved settlements opened up the interior of the island to development because previously there was a lot of, like, you know, people living on the coast. There was a real social element around it. So there was things, you know, extra trains would be put on for the summer picnics that were often used as fundraisers. So, like, thousands of people would, like, go to one place and there'd be extra trains or, like, Old Home Week, or you could rent them for funerary processions. And so, you know, they were really integrated into the community.
But despite its popularity amongst islanders in the early 1900s, the PEI Railway had some problems. It's originally built as a narrow-gauge track, making it incompatible with tracks in most other parts of the country. So it's eventually converted. And fun fact, they actually used to drive the trains onto the ferry in Borden, sail them across, and then they'd reconnect to the line in New Brunswick and carry on.
It's not a moneymaker. Really, there starts to be a decline in probably like the 50s and 60s. And it coincides, of course, with the rise of cars and roads. It became faster to move things by road and truck than by the train. In the 60s, the passenger service is reduced, and then subsequently it ceases to run in 1969. And then it just really carries on as freight for the next 20 years. And then, of course, in 1989, that's when the last railway car, like, rolled off the island, bringing the railway history to as a transport mechanism to a close at that time. There's shadows of it that still exist. There's several buildings that have been repurposed, whether that's into like offices or retail space, museums. Like there's lots of different uses for cafes, like coffee shops.
So right now we are standing in front of the Brass Shop in downtown Charlottetown. Right now it is home to the Receiver Coffee down here. It used to be part of the railway infrastructure. They actually made brass parts here for the railway for many, many years. And the building still stands, and inside is completely different. And it's just like a reminder of something that was here and is now gone, but it still stands the test of time.
How do you think other islanders feel about trains?
I honestly think other people don't think about trains as much as I do, and that's probably a good thing. But I'm interested to see what other people think about, well, what they know about the history of trains on the island, especially this area, because we have Founders Hall right behind us, which also played a part, and even the parking lot where we're standing right now played a part in the overall train infrastructure.
Okay, let's go ask the people. Hi there. We're just working on a podcast episode. Can we ask you a few very easy questions?
Sure, but I'm not from here.
I'm just discovering your island, actually. Walking, asking questions about the history.
Fascinating, actually. We're talking about trains today and where the trains went on PEI, the Confederation.
What luck! Within steps, we find a tourist eager to learn more about PEI's history. Travis's eyes light up. He is happy to deliver.
And this used to be a rail switching yard.
I thought that reminded me about some train station in Europe because of the way it's shaped and even inside. It's like, oh, interesting.
We learn Corinne is from France, and she's a bit of a train enthusiast, too.
I only travel by train when I go over there. I used to do everything by train.
We are now in Founders Food Hall and Market. Back in the day, it was used to repair rail cars. Been here since 1906.
Do you still think it would be better if it was used for trains?
I'm not going to advocate for ripping all of this out and putting trains back in, but it is like, you know, the ceiling's still the same height. As you look up to the top here, you can see the wooden slats still in the ceiling. It's hard not to picture at least a couple train cars in here, right?
Great, let's go see what some other people in here know about trains. Excuse me, ma'am, I have a very important question for you.
Don't do it to me!
Rachel, that's Rachel Peters. She's an island photographer, and her sister Kim run the shop Oh Hey PEI.
Because this was the train turnaround station for Charlottetown and for Prince Edward Island. You're ambushing me.
It's the power of the podcast.
It is a powerful podcast, Nicola.
Rachel gives us some suggestions of other folks in the building we can maybe convince to talk to us about trains. We are doing a podcast episode about trains.
I love people's reaction when we say this because it's always just like this long pause. Like, we're doing this about trains, and it's like, okay.
You may have missed the train on this one. I like trains. If I'm somewhere else, my husband always laughs at me. It's like, let's go on the metro. He's like, to where? I'm like, I don't care. I just like to go on the subway.
Have you ever been on a train?
No.
Never? Are you from PEI? And so do you think you've never been on a train because you're from PEI and we don't have them?
Yes.
Do you feel ripped off that they were gone before you got a chance to ride them?
I do think so, yes.
I unfortunately was born after the trains were taken out of commission. So all I have for memories is the train that's in Kensington that you can see, and so that's really the only history I have.
When I was a kid, I took a train from Moncton to Charlottetown one time, and it took like 12 hours. We stopped in Hunter River, I think it was Hunter River or Kensington, somewhere anyway, in the middle of 2 o'clock in the morning, and just sat there for half an hour. Nobody get on, nobody get off.
So Travis, to recap, you want to know why PEI got rid of trains. Mostly, they just became too expensive and weren't really practical in the late 20th century.
But there was a time when Islanders had a special connection to trains. And the railway was actually the reason we joined Canada. Well,
the financial burden is the reason that we joined.
But the second part of your question is still lingering.
Should we bring trains back? So we went, as you heard, down to Founders Hall, and we also asked people what they thought about whether or not trains should come back to the island.
How are we going to have trains here?
Why could they not come back?
Where are they going to go? Across the bridge?
In a mythical world, a super fast high-speed train from end to end would be terrific.
Maybe if it was like a subway, it'd be a quick form of travel because, you know, the bus isn't always the quickest.
Can I get a better transit system? You know?
I agree.
Yeah, better transit.
But do you think trains are maybe an answer to our transit problems?
That's a really big project, and I think, yes, that's my answer.
Number one, who's paying for it? Because that's going to be a lot of money. Two, is that going to affect the Confederation Trails? Because I know those are used all year round. And three, I guess it depends on, do we have any data on how many people will use it, where the trains are going, and if it would improve transportation throughout the island to an extent that it's worth the money.
So Travis was able to partially sway some folks with his romantic ideals of train travel. But there were a lot of concerns about cost. And that instinct is correct, seeing as PEI's first railroad sent us to financial ruin. But a lot of folks we talked to also mentioned our current transit systems and how they don't serve them. So we found a citizen transportation advocate group to ask, would trains solve our transit woes?
Okay, he's ringing here. I'm going to...
Hi, Ted. It's Nicola and Travis from CBC. How are you?
Oh, fine. You still hear me okay?
I hear you great. We got you.
Okay.
That's Ted Bartlett. He's the past president of Transportation Action Atlantic. He lives in Moncton now, but he's originally from Newfoundland.
And so you're also from an island where there are no trains.
That is correct.
So, Ted, as someone who is an advocate for rail across the country, what do you think about the idea of bringing trains back to PEI?
Well, it would be a lovely idea, you know, from an environmental perspective. But the reality is that the volume just isn't there. Rail is extremely energy efficient and environmentally friendly, but there has to be a certain minimum volume. And with the population of PEI being less than 200,000, the traffic just isn't there to justify it, either from a freight or a passenger perspective. PEI's principal export is potatoes. They load them into intermodal containers, road haul them to Moncton, and put them on rail for furtherance all over North America. It works. It's economical. And it does take advantage of the long-haul benefits of rail transportation.
So Ted is not advocating for a PEI railway resurgence, but there are some areas the group wants to see investment. Cape Breton's railway hasn't been used in a few years, but the track is still there.
If we had left the rail lines themselves in place on PEI, would we be having a different conversation today? Would that make it a more feasible case to have rail back on PEI?
I don't think it would, because the volume just isn't there, and it would be very expensive. The design of the Confederation Bridge, it could not possibly accommodate rail. You'd have to put a whole new ferry infrastructure in place. All that for a population of fewer than 200,000 people.
If we continue to grow at the rate that we are now, do you foresee a future where that might be a possibility, where we hit that kind of critical mass?
Honestly, I don't. I think efforts have to be focused right now on restoring or strengthening the rail option in areas where the infrastructure is still in place, number one, and number two, where there's a greater population density.
Thanks, Ted. Bye.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks so much, Ted.
So, Travis, what do you think?
It seems like every hypothetical I threw at him, but what about this? But what about this? The answer was staunchly not happening.
The good news I do have is that I did reach out to the province to ask, hey, hear me out. Is there any chance we're bringing back trains? They got back to me pretty quickly, and they wanted to clarify, are we looking to learn about passenger trains or freight trains? And I said, well, I think we'd be interested in the news of any returning train on PEI. And then I got a response to say the Environment Minister, Stephen Myers, is ready to talk to us about whether PEI is bringing back trains.
In order to reduce our carbon emissions, we have to look at alternate ways of transportation. So we've talked about trains, and I've asked our staff to look at, you know, what would a feasibility study look like for a train from, say, Summerside to Charlottetown, where the most people, the two jurisdictions where most people live, and could we move them back and forth? And could it be high speed, and could it be hydrogen? We have all kinds of companies all over the world with these creative and new solutions on low carbon activities. We would never say no to a train, and I think that it kind of excites me, the opportunity. I don't think we'll ever see a train again like we used to have, you know, one that went tip to tip and that type of thing. But if we could use trains in a way to move, you know, large volumes of people around, particularly for work, we could reduce cars on the road and we could reduce our emissions.
The last time PEI attempted to build a railroad, it bankrupted the province and we actually had to join Canada for that reason. So I know you're mentioning like a feasibility study. How far are you into that process?
Yeah, so we have an RFP going out. It should go out later this month, and it's not about trains, but it's about the transportation sector. So we're looking for advice in the transportation sector. It may be to expand the current system that we have, which is our public transit system. It may be to try to get hydrogen buses in that fleet. If we had a high need of busing between, say, Charlottetown and Summerside, and it was so high that we had so many buses on the road that we had to look at a more permanent, bigger solution, that's probably the time when you would look at a train. But I mean, because it's such early days and we're trying to reinvent ourselves as a net zero province, we're really willing to look at any option. But no, we're not trying to bankrupt. We'd be looking for partners with money. We'd be looking for people who have capital raised that are looking to showcase to the world versus us having to put billions of dollars in, because we just don't have the critical mass, I think, at either end.
So Meyer says they're watching this hydrogen train project that's currently happening in Quebec City. And actually last year they met with a hydrogen company. In the end, they decided it wasn't the right fit. But they are traveling the world and having some of these conversations.
This is fantastic. Now, I am just some TV lineup producer. I am not the minister responsible for this, so it's good to know that the minister responsible also thinking about this, and my harebrained ideas weren't actually so harebrained after all.
Looking back on the journey we've been on, how do you feel about trains? Did you get your answers that you wanted?
You know, I did get the answers that I wanted, and this ended better than I could have ever expected.
PEI's Railway Part 2, coming potentially to a community near you.
I would move to Summerside and ride it every single day.
And that's it for this week's episode of Good Question PEI. If you have a question, like Travis, that you would like answered, you can send that to goodquestionpei, all one word, at cbc.ca. For Good Question PEI, I'm Nicola McLeod.
I'm Travis Kingdon.
See ya.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.